It was also corrupt in the sense that there were a lot of orgies that Paul mentions, where people were pigging out and, you know, hanging out each other, sleeping, you know, all the things you can imagine in a good, typical orgy like you did in your college. No, I mean, you might picture students doing in their college. Paul says that's the life of corruption that we Christians want to be the opposite of. We don't have the same situation exactly today, but stop and think of where the corruption, where the sin is expressed in our time. Compared to the situation of the Roman Empire, we perhaps reflect Christianity more than, certainly more than they did when Christianity was brand new. We have a lot of churches on street corners that are Christian places of worship rather than places of worshiping false gods. But what might be the things that we struggle with in the darkness of our time? I think one is materialism, particularly as we were reminded at the beginning of the worship. This is a time, busy time for shopping. We just had, what was it, Black Friday, and then what, Happy Saturday, and then today is buy them all on reduced price Sunday, whatever it is. There are all kinds of support for and encouragement towards buying, purchasing, holding on to material things. That's not new, but it certainly is practiced in our society. And many people get sucked into that. Even those who are people of the light can start to think, oh, you know, I'd really like to have that in Christmas. Or, you know, I think a new Lexus would really look good in the driveway, you know, for New Year's. We can get pulled into that because the advertising is everywhere and it works on your brain. Okay? That's another one. That's one that we experience in our society, in our time, that materialism. Think another one is a sense of ego-centered. People were pretty family-oriented in ancient times, and even among some tribal peoples today, and even in some cultures still today, maybe you're familiar with, I work with a group that reaches out to China, there's much more of a family orientation. I think particularly in America and in Western Europe, we reflect an ego-centered culture. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, how I can be happy, how others are going to help me feel good. Isn't that a danger in our society? Rather than being focused on others, Paul says very clearly another time that seek first the welfare of others and not your own. And there he's following Jesus, who says, love your neighbor as yourself, at least as much as yourself. Another one I think that is becoming more and more prevalent in our society, and I think we saw it in all of the electioneering that happened recently, is lack of respect. There seems to be such a breakdown of respect for persons, for people, That disrespectful way of talking about others or gesturing toward others, mocking others, bullying others, all of that becomes very, to my mind, very disrespectful. And one that Paul mentions in his time, and I think we easily do it as Christians, and that is we become judgmental towards others. You remember that story of the two people praying in the temple, and the Pharisee says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like that scuzzball that I sit next to you. Okay? It's easy for us to say, of course I'm not perfect. We all know we're not perfect. But we're not as bad as those people. People we see in the news, people we see on the street corner, or on the entry to the freeway.
At least I'm not as bad as those people. Jesus meant for us not to judge anyone in that way. Because when it comes down to it, all of us folks are as broken as the worst people we can imagine and compare ourselves to. God is not the God of weighing how much good or how much bad people do. God categorizes us qualitatively. Either you are a broken sinner or you are a saint, covered by God's grace. And Christ came to tell us we're both. We are all equally sinners. Doesn't really matter whether you sold a dollar or 10,000, does it? You're a thief, right? Or, as some of you ladies know, it doesn't matter whether you're 3 weeks pregnant or 9 months. You're still prayers, right? So, it's a qualitative thing. Either you're a sinner or you're not. But we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. We're all equally saved by God's grace. God's mark of his love is on the worst sinner you can imagine, just as his mark of grace is on you. And that's what we as Christians are called to live out. To live out that light message, that good news message of God's grace for all people. To remind ourselves constantly that we are people saved by grace alone. Not by what we do, but by faith which trusts in God's mercy and grace through Christ. And that we look at others with that same grace. Martin Luther once said that we are saved by grace alone, but grace is never alone. If God's grace has touched your life, it's going to show in being people of the light. And part of being people of the light, probably the biggest part, is that you have a gracious heart. That you look at others the way Christ looks at them. People who need help, people who need your love and your care, however you're able to do it for them, however you're able to share your life with them. So, as we think about Christ's coming at Christmas time, that good news of God in the flesh coming for us to show us his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his gift of salvation. And as we honestly think about the fact that the end is near, nearer now than it was at Paul's time, how much longer before the end of all things, we don't know. One thing I can assure you is it's going to be the end of all things for you when you hit the end of that road where the bridge goes down. Okay? And so, as we live with an urgency to do the things of the light, to live in the light, as long as God gives us to live in that light, until he takes us and takes the whole world into a wonderful new realm of perfect life. How about that? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.